I'm Sherwin Bryce Pease in New York.
Moving on to this now, the South African Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund is recording incredible progress in the fight against gender-based violence in the country. Launched by President Cyril Ramaphosa, the fund supported over 17,000 survivors in the first 4 months. Its aim is to finance and support the implementation of the National Strategic Plan on GBVF and expand government's work in fighting the scourge in the country. For more on this, we're joined on the line by the fund's CEO, Lindi Dlamini. Good morning, Lindi. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Aurelie, and thank you for having me. Thank you to the listeners out there as well.
Lindi, let's first reflect on how exactly this fund came about for those who don't know. What prompted its inception?
What prompted the inception of the fund is really events leading up to the 2018 presidential summit. The total shutdown movement, civil society organization and formation really marched on the JSE, took to the streets and demanded that the government pay heed to the ever-increasing rate of gender-based violence and femicide. Coming out of that presidential summit, the president issued a declaration and it was agreed that the demands that had been put through by civil society would be encapsulated in what we know today as the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. When it was launched in April of 2020, it became immediately apparent, of course, that the work that is spoken of in the NSP needs to be funded. And the mechanism through which that had been intended to happen was through a fund that would be overseen by a GBV council. Now, that democratized lawmaking process is taking a while, and as a result, the International Women's Forum of South Africa approached the president and said, you know, they'd be willing to assist. And they helped raise the initial funds with which the fund was launched last year on the 4th of February. So that is just a synopsis into the journey.
Mm. Can you tell us more about the progress that you've seen in supporting the victims in need?
So one of the things with urgency that the fund wanted to do was to ensure that the resources it has mobilized reach community-based organizations that are doing excellent work within our communities and have been doing so underfunded. And so at the end of last year, the board made a decision and issued grants to 110 organizations, community-based organizations, and 4 intermediary organizations. And the intermediaries are really the large organizations, the umbrella organizations, whose mandate, as given by the fund, was to find smaller community-based organizations that don't yet qualify for funding in their own right, as well as to do work within what we call the hotspot areas. And so the funding was deployed, and what we have done now, funding was deployed by March. We had paid 90% of the organizations, and right now all organizations have been paid and are working. And the purpose of the recent activities was really to establish that the organizations are doing the work they should be doing, and that they're experiencing no impediments. And if there are impediments, the fund wanted to know how it can support. And that led us to an understanding of the work that has been done. And 17,000 survivors have been assisted. They have made significant progress, exceeding the targets that we set for them, particularly when it comes to those organizations that are doing Pillar 3 work, which is work related to helping women to access the justice system. So these green offshoots are heartening, but of course a lot more needs to be done, which means that a lot more funding is required, and we continue to raise funds so that we can continue to assist these organizations and accelerate the impact that they are having on the ground.
What would you say is the overall importance of a fund like this one for a country like South Africa that's battling with GBV as another crisis or a pandemic?
You know, Aurelie, this is the original pandemic, I always say. And the importance of a fund like this is twofold. Firstly, to ensure that the work that is done is resourced, but secondly, that we measure the impact that this work is having. But thirdly, the fund is also a convener, and in that role, a lot of the work that we do is to shape the narrative as well as share thought leadership influence across a number of platforms. The JSE has been a good partner to help us bring people together, to have dialogue around what society needs to be doing around those different stakeholders, including corporate. And so the importance of the fund is to, number one, resource. Number two, deploy those resources, account for those resources to donors as well as the public at large, and to make sure that there's a measurable impact and a sustainable impact, but to also help shape some of these narratives out there, to use the influence that it has, the platforms that it has access to. The creation of public-private partnerships is another significant area of focus for the fund. To give you an example, Vodacom is a donor of the funds, and through the partnership that we have with Vodacom, we have been able to support the expansion of Tutuzela Care Centers, and the fund will be contributing 5 Tutuzela Care Centers for the support of victims of gender-based violence.
Lindy, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Aurelie, for having me, and thank you to the listeners.
That's Lindy Dlamini, Chief Executive Officer of the South African Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund, just taking us through some of the successes that the fund has reached, supporting over 17,000 survivors in the first 4 months.
Hi, I'm Lulu Gabu. I've been in broadcasting for over 10 years, and it's been